It's certainly great to see you this morning, church. I hope that you're doing great. I hope that you all have had a great morning so far. I know since we've been here, we've had a great morning. It's been great to be in Bible class today. I appreciate our teacher, Brother George, and I know there are so many others teaching. Appreciate the words that he brought to us and the challenges he made to us this morning. Appreciate you all being here today. Brother Steve leading us and our singing as always. Appreciate the words Brother Kevin shared with us as we reminded ourselves of the importance of the cross. I appreciate Dallas reading to us from John chapter 9, which will be our text today. Appreciate Brother Levy's prayer. And I appreciate you all being here. I always like to have good news to share with you, and certainly we have good news. We've had a lot of good news here lately. Folks, God is blessing us. We're growing, and I appreciate that very much. All those who are visiting with us today, if you're looking for a church home, I don't want you to look any further. This place, let me tell you, it's not perfect. There are a lot of imperfect people here, all of us, right? Imperfect people trying to get to a perfect place. And I'm thankful that we are patient with one another, but most of all that God is. But I do want to say that we've had some, and we had some last Sunday place their membership with us. Want you to continue to get to know them. But Wednesday night, not everybody obviously could be here Wednesday night, but we had Richard and Cindy Williams place their membership with us. And we had them stand up Wednesday night, but I'm going to get to stand up again today. Richard and Cindy right here, we welcome them to Azalea City. Last Sunday evening, it was a great time together. We had the area-wide devotional. It was great to be able to come together with about 300 or so teenagers and worship God. And after that, we had some even better news. We had somebody who decided she was ready to follow Jesus. And so that was Jessie Jernigan. And I'm very proud of Jessie. And Jessie and her family are going to continue to worship with us. Jessie is somebody that I have known quite a while. It's Crystal Galloway's sister. So what I'm going to do is I want Bubba Galloway to stand up, please. Bubba's 6'4". He's hard to miss. 1, 2, counting Eli, 3, 4 down is Jessie. Jessie's a little shy, so I wasn't going to make her stand up. But Jessie, her husband Jeremy, Callie, their cousin, I forgot his name, sorry, and John Thomas. They're all here, so welcome Jessie, and welcome the family, please. I want to tell you about something that's going to happen next week. We're going to have the Lord's Day. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Just like every Sunday, the first day of the week is going to be the Lord's Day, but I wrote about it, actually. Miss Robin put it on there for me on the front page of our page. And then Justin wrote more in detail about it with a colored picture that some of you, some of our families, will be receiving in the mail. It's a save the date sticker to put on your refrigerator, homemade, if you will. But we're going to title next Sunday Up. It is going to be what we call Promotion Sunday. Now, it's going to be a day that we dedicate to the Lord. We're going to preach about growing up in the Lord, about being where God wants us to be and raising children. Justin will tag team preach next Sunday, and will not be a marathon. I know that's hard for some of you to believe with when I'm speaking, but Justin will preach some, I'll preach some. And then once our services are dismissed, we don't want you to leave, because what we're going to do is we're going to bring our children up. Again, we will do this after our morning service, and we'll bring them up. We'll announce who they are. We want you to get to know our children. We want you to see our children. We'll do that from those like 4 years old and up, those who graduate or getting out of moving on from outdoor, moving into outdoor Bible, moving out of outdoor Bible, moving out of the JYG, moving into the youth group, and we'll acknowledge our senior that will be moving from the youth group. And so that'll be a great day, and then we're going to get an elder to pray over all of our children and over all of our education of our children. And so it's going to be a great day. Bring your friends. Let's make it a day that's very special. And I appreciate you praying about that. Thank you, Jason. I was going to make announcements this morning, but Jason announced to you. He did a great job. Of course, he told you what today is for me. Today is not my birthday. My birthday happens to be on an eclipse. You know, what does that say? Turn 40 on the day that there's an eclipse. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But folks, I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be raised here. I'm thankful to have Brother Rudy and Sister Nita here today. There's a lot of people here who are special, who are pioneers, who are great servants of our Lord. And I am thankful to be a part of this congregation. I hope you'll have me for the next 40 plus years. But the point of it is today we are gathered together no matter what age, no matter what color, no matter what sex we are gathered in the name of the Lord. We are gathered together today and we have worshiped Him. And it is my mission now to challenge us, to encourage us, and to preach to us and to myself to remind us of the importance of seeing God. If you've heard me say the importance of seeing God once, you've heard me say it a bunch of times now. I believe that seeing God is critical to our spiritual walks. I believe it's critical to our salvation. I believe that we as children of God, children of the King, belonging to God through Jesus Christ, being guided and comforted by His Spirit, I know that we are people that are humans that make mistakes. But because of the blood of Jesus, we can still see God each and every day of our lives. And we need to have that opportunity. We need to take advantage of those opportunities that are put before us each and every day. Again, as I said earlier, tomorrow is a total eclipse. I don't know, but I believe I was in the first grade when another one happened. Some say, well, it's not a total eclipse. I'm not that smart when it comes to these things. But I remember in the first grade, they wouldn't let us look up. And I know the first grade for me was quite a while ago, but it was a time when I can remember that. My little girl's in first grade this year, and so that's kind of a neat parallel, I guess, if you will. But tomorrow is an eclipse, and let me just tell you, go back to this slide. You see that little boy looking in a telescope? Don't do that tomorrow, okay? If I could give you any advice, it would be that right there. Don't do that tomorrow. Because we can't see those rays and we can't see that and you know, it can hurt our eyes, it can damage our eyes, permanently damage our eyes. And I remember, you know, I come up in a time like the Adam Walsh, I'll remember that time when that little boy went missing and all, you know, we had the fear of Adam Walsh put into us, but we also had the fear of that eclipse put in. I was like, boy, I'm not looking up. You know, I don't want my eyes to be burned and everything else. And so there's a lot of that going on, and there are special glasses and this and that, and please make sure, you know, I'm not going to get into all that. But tomorrow, for a portion of the day, during the sunlight hours, there will be some darkness. There will be a time when the moon will be completely in front of the sun. And again, there's a lot of odds of that happening, a lot of years in between, and everything else. But there was also a time about 2,000 years ago where there was darkness. In fact, Mark says it this way, now is the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by heard that, and that he said he's calling for Elijah. And someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine and said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down. Then Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. For a 3-hour period, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was darkness over the whole land. In that darkness, we could put our sins. Today, some of you may be living a life of darkness. Today, I believe it is our mission to be moons. We are to reflect the sun. We are to be Jesus Christ. People ought to see Jesus Christ living in us everywhere we walk, everywhere we go. But sometimes we get ourselves in the way and people can't see Jesus. And so instead of seeing the salt and instead of seeing the light, they see the darkness. And instead of it being an illuminating time, there's a dark period. And some of you may have walked in today in a very dark period. Maybe your lives are full of darkness. Well, here's what I want you to see. Even though there was darkness over that land for 3 hours, Mark tells us that Jesus died. Jesus died, and it was still a very dark time, but it did something. It tore down the veil that separated us from the Holy of Holies, the veil that separated us from God Almighty. He tore it down. And now it doesn't matter, red, yellow, black and white, Jew, Gentile, we all have the opportunity to walk in the light. And because of that opportunity today, I want us to see God clearly. The cost of light, the cost of sight is expensive. I wear contacts and I am on my last pair of contacts. And the reason I'm on my last pair of contacts is because I've been too cheap to go and pay my copay at the eye doctor, and then I have to buy those contacts. But guess what? When these contacts tear, I'm going to not be able to see. Okay? I go and I buy readers. Now I know they're only $5 or $10 a piece, but I've got like 4 pair of them because I keep losing them. Okay? So that adds up. If I were to go and get all that corrected, guess what? It would be thousands of dollars to have my eye. To be able to see costs money. But what if you were blinded? You know that there is a corneal transplant that can be done? People can have corneal transplants. Now I want you to know that a corneal transplant costs thousands upon thousands of dollars. So if somebody had cornea damage and they needed a corneal transplant, it would cost them, or maybe their insurance would cover, I don't know, but it would cost somebody thousands upon thousands of dollars, but that's not the greatest cost. In order to have a corneal transplant, we have to have corneas from somebody whose life is no longer living. So ultimately, the price to be able to have corrective eye vision, to implant a lens and over the cornea to take away that darkness, to take away that, would be the cost of a life. In order for us as Christians to be able to see today, it took the life of Jesus Christ. That's the price that when we walk in darkness, we take for granted. Belinda Moss is here, and I'm thankful for Belinda Moss. It was about 7 years ago. Belinda had a liver transplant. We praise God today because 1 year ago she had a tube put in and it was removed. And she's doing well. But Belinda will never let us forget. She talks to me about it all the time. For her to have a new liver, it took the life of someone else. And I don't mean to make her sad today. But that's the hard reality. Folks, Belinda doesn't take that for granted. We better not take for granted the cost of our spiritual sight. The cost of our sight was God's own Son. And He told us a long, long time ago in Isaiah 42, beginning in verse 6, here's what He said about His people. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes to bring out prisoners from the prison. Those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Here's what God told and the covenant He made to the Jews, but ultimately it was to us because we're Gentiles. We were blinded people. He said, I'm going to open their eyes. You see, Christ is the true vine, okay? He is the vine that grows. And off of that true vine branched the Jews. It came a point in time when God was very upset with the Jews, and so He was cutting them off. But here's what He did, starting with Cornelius in the Scriptures in Acts 10. Cornelius becoming what we know as the first Gentile convert. Remember, Peter had, he had reservations about it. By the way, if you study the Scripture, Cornelius was a good man. He was just. He gave to God. He talked about God, but he was not yet a Christian. There are good people all around us that are not yet Christians. Cornelius had not yet seen the light. And so he tells Peter, Peter has a vision. Remember, it's bound at all four corners, unclean animals. And the vision says, rise and eat. Peter says, I can't eat what's unclean. And God said, oh no. Whatever God's made is not unclean. You go and tell the Gentiles. Cornelius is taught and baptized into Christ. And because of that, God started grafting in the Gentiles to the true vine. And we are here today because a long time ago, a guy said through Isaiah, I'm going to open their eyes. But today, some of our eyes are closed. Today, some of our lives are blinded. How can we see? I am confident that if our vision was taken away today, we would do everything in our power if we could to get it back. In John chapter 9, where our text will come from today, there is a man who is blind. He's been blind since birth. John chapter 9 is a text I want us to look at together. Turn there, if you will. John chapter 9, we're going to read together verses 1 through 12. Here's how it reads. Now as Jesus, always underline that because it's only Jesus who could do this, right? Jesus passed by, He saw. Now, I want you to think about that. Here's Jesus going by a blind man, but He sees him. The blind man can't see Jesus, but Jesus saw him, who was blind from birth. His disciples asked Him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Obviously, there was a handicap. And they thought, this man wasn't, you know, this is a punishment about something. Who sinned, Jesus? Here's what Jesus answered and said. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When He had said these things, He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And He said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Enough is enough. I'm going to tell you who I am. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed, and I received sight." Then they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." Today, some of you may have walked into this room blinded. Spiritually blinded. Now, we're not spiritually blinded from birth. No, no, no. Our children, they are born perfect. But there comes a time when we as children grow up and we reach an age of accountability where we understand sin and we understand the concept of sin. And when sin is reigning in our lives, that means that we have a consequence, and that consequence can be we can die in our sins and go to hell. I'd love to stand up here and preach to you good just vibes all the time, but the truth of the matter is, folks, there is a hell and it is a real place. And there are real souls that are going to go there. That was not the design. The design was for the devil and his angels. But because we choose to follow the darkness, we choose to keep our eyes shut instead of open them wide to the light, then the reality is God allows us to follow Satan. And He allows us to go to hell. But that's not why Jesus died. Jesus didn't die so that we could still go to hell. Jesus died so that we can go to heaven and that our eyes can be opened and we can see clearly. You see, Jesus had mercy on the blind man. He looked and saw him and He healed him so that God could be glorified through it all. Today, the question is, do you want to stay blind? There are a couple questions and points we need to make. The first one is this: what are we blinded by? What are we blinded by? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded." Now that God is not Yahweh God. That is an idol God. That is Satan, the prince of this world, "whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has alone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Let's tell you about this God for a moment. Not the G-O-D little God, the G-O-D big God, okay? Let's talk about Him just for a moment, like this Scripture says. The absence of light is darkness. So if you remove all the light, you will have darkness. Okay, I want you to understand, when you have darkness, it's because you don't have any light. Here's what God did. God took darkness and made light from it. It was all dark and void, and He said, "Let there be light," and He illuminated the darkness. Today, you and me, if we're in the dark, we can't get ourselves out of the dark. But God still can. You see, God can take that darkness and He can bring us to the light. But there's something that's causing that darkness. If you and I lived in darkness, pitch black darkness long enough, we would physically be blinded. They're fish that's happened to. They've lived in dark caves and places, and now they have no eyes because that's how they've adapted to this place. When we are in darkness, we produce darkness. We produce blindness. today there is something. That sounds so miserable, doesn't it? Anybody here just sign up to be blind? No. Nobody would. I know of a young man, names will remain nameless, who went to the doctor and he was told, you're going to have to get glasses. And it broke his heart because he did not want to get glasses. The good news is he didn't have to get them. But the point of it is, today, I wish I didn't have to have contacts. I wish I would have never had to wear glasses. I wish I could see perfectly. But I'm thankful for what I can see. There are some who's going blind that they can't see and they give anything to see again. But spiritually there are some that they do not care. I'm in the darkness. Oh well, I'm just going to stay here. I'm just going to waller in this pig pen. I'm going to waller in this darkness. Well, what causes that? Paul said, the God of this age. Too much is spending time with Him. But today I want to ask you, are you blinded? Maybe you're blinded by anger. I'm just going to tell you, there was a time maybe that anger consumed some of my life. I was an angry boy, angry child, angry teenager. I had no reason to be. I was raised in a great home. I just had anger sharks swimming in my head. And they would surface and I'd be so mad. Somewhere along the way, though, I'm thankful God took that away. But maybe that's not you. Maybe today you haven't tried to confront that problem. You haven't tried to confront that issue. And maybe anger is just consuming you. Maybe right now you're so mad at somebody. If you got them in a room, you just beat them and you think of all these bad things you do to them. You get so mad at somebody because they cut you off in traffic. You want to just run them off the road. I've been there. I know. I still have people cut me off. And now, believe it or not, instead of my first reaction saying, man, I just want to ram them or, you know, whatever, I say, thank you, God, that they didn't hit me or I didn't hit them. It can be taken away. But you got to be willing to see and get past the anger. Maybe it's selfishness. We live in a selfish time, folks. It's about me, myself, and I. Children are selfish, and sometimes we as adults do not grow out of that selfishness. Sin is a selfish problem. We're drawn away by our own desires. Well, today, if you want to be able to see spiritually and see God and be pure in heart, then we've got to get rid of self. Maybe it's lust of the flesh. That's a big problem. That's a big sin. All sin is big. But probably lust is having its field day now because it's so easily accessible. Being able to look at things our eyes shouldn't see. Maybe it's consuming you. Maybe it's hatred. Folks, I am sick and tired of watching the news. I really am. I would suggest to you just quit for a while. But there is so much hatred. I mean, how can God be glorified in any of it? And I said this Wednesday night, and I'm going to say it again. It's a sin to hate, period. It doesn't matter if it's whites hating blacks, blacks hating whites, all of them hating whatever. Hatred is a sin. And we may need to make sure it doesn't enter the Lord's church. I'm telling you right now, maybe that's something that's, I know it's blinding a lot of people. Maybe it has entered here. Maybe that's something you're struggling with. Well, today it's time to take off the hatred glasses. It's time to be able to see. Maybe it's envy. Maybe it's some other sin. Whatever it is, why do we want to keep being blinded? It is more than time. It is past time to see clearly. The man in the lesson was blinded from birth. He was blinded from birth. Do you think he was more than ready to be able to see? When Jesus said, do something, he did it. And that leads us to our next point. What are we blinded by is the question. Well, when we decide, hey, I'm ready to do it, then we need to wash. We need to make sure we're clean. He told him to wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, by the way, Jesus could have healed this man any way he wanted to heal him. Jesus could have, again, he's Jesus. He's God in the flesh. He could have blinked his eyes real hard. He could have thought it. He could have wiggled his eyebrows, wiggled his nose, wiggled his toes. He could have healed him. But he told him, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to make some mud. I just think it's a cool story. Jesus spits on the ground, gets the dirt, the clay, muddy, and he puts it on the guy's eye. Again, he could have done, it had nothing to do with the dirt and the spit. It had him obeying the voice. It had to do with him obeying the command. That man had been blinded since birth. If Jesus Christ would have told him to stand on his head, he would have done his best to do it. You want to spit on my eyes with some mud? That's fine. You want me to go wash in the pool of Siloam? Yes, sir. By the way, it's very nonchalant in John's account. But here's what it says. He says, so he went and washed and came back seeing. I mean, just very nonchalant. I'm thinking, if I'm John, again, I'm not questioning. Man puts punctuation in. John could have meant it this way. He went and did what Jesus said. He came back and he could see. It's amazing. By the way, today you can do what Jesus said and be able to see too. Jesus isn't going to put any mud on your eyes. But he did say wash. Wash in his blood. Why would we not? Why would we not do that? Jesus said, hey, this is what I want you to do to go to heaven. Folks, if he had told me, don't eat chocolate again. Don't eat carbs again. I might be the skinniest preacher ever, but I'd sure be trying. But he didn't even say anything that hard. He said, wash and walk. Wash in the blood of Jesus and walk in the light as He is in the light. It's not as hard to be a Christian as people make it out to be. What are we doing? If you have your sight, what are you doing? Let me tell you what he did. What the man did in the story. He went and told others. You think? He'd been blind since birth. Now all of a sudden he can see. You think people would notice that and he'd be like, hey man, how do you see? Ah, well, it just happened. No. He's telling people. He's telling people, let me tell you what he did. I love how the kind of little disagree or the thought process goes right here, how it plays out. Is it him? I don't know. Is it him? He's like, yes, it is me. It is I. I am he. And this man, Jesus, he healed me. He put some mud on my eye. He made mud. He spat on the ground. He made mud. He put it on my eyes. He said, go wash it to pull Siloam. I did. And today I can see. But they ask a question I think we're going to end with today. It's the last thought. They said, where is he? Where is he? It's a question I think that's a great question. Where is God in your life? In my life? Where is Jesus in our lives? Where is the Holy Spirit in our lives? The question we need to ask today, is Jesus living in us? Now let me say this. If I come to you today and said, and I've used illustrations like this a lot, but I'm going to up the ante today. I've usually used a million, I'm going billion. Okay? If I came to you today and said, hey, there is a guy here that's going to give every one of you $1 billion. I mean, you could use trillion for all I care. Okay, you know what you would ask? Where is he? Where is this man? I must see him. Well, there's nobody here going to give you probably $1. I might if I had it. But the point is, there is someone here who can give you light, who can give you sight, who can make you and I be able to see. Where is he? He's here in our presence. His name is Jesus. Why, if I am not yet a child of Jesus Christ, do I linger one more minute in sin? Why would I linger one more minute in darkness? Why would I linger one more minute in misery? Today, folks, I do not have an answer to that question. But here's what I do know. If I want to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I am ready to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, then today will be that day. If I was physically blinded, and there was somebody who had the power to let me see, I wouldn't wait one more minute in that blindness. So why would you wait? Today, if you're here and you strayed away, you tasted the light, but you wandered back to the darkness, there's still hope. But why would you stay in the darkness any longer? Jesus is here. He's willing to change it. Let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.